There's no rest.
Okay.
Before we get it back into verse analysis, I wanted to finish those notes off yesterday. It left off with on the outline study, which we're going to do next, and I went through the definition and some of the special hermeneutics that would apply to that type of a study. And the next section here would be the methodology to follow. And there's broke up into five parts. I have them A through E, and then subheadings under that, so that'll help you take notes a little bit. The first part is surveying the book. And that's reading and rereading, just simply. A suggestion in the New Testament, maybe you might key this back to the notes and some of the suggestions they gave for reading, personal reading the Bible, like in the New Testament, particularly the 26 translations for the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there's a similar one for the poetic books. But just reading through and checking for differences and using different translations. Second is to familiarize, or first, these aren't necessarily in order, to familiarize the book's location in the canon of Scripture and the author's own writings. And third, to research all the historical information concerning the book. And a good checklist on this is to use the historical overview on that verse analysis outline. And these are usually, besides the commentators, there's some specific works in this area that can be used, the introductory works to the Old and the New Testament, that a lot of times give a lot more background information than the commentators do. I mentioned some of them before. I don't know if I mentioned that this semester or not, but particularly in the New Testament, I will, when we get into it, I'll go into some of the tools a little bit. Like, we have most of the New Testament ones are up in the second shelf on the top there in this library, like Zahn's Introduction and Guthrie's and Gundry's. There's a few of them where they specialize in background material in the different books, and also they're helpful for themes and outlining. And that's a real important aspect of it, probably one of the most overlooked. I find myself getting more and more into that before I get into real heavy research if I'm doing it on a particular book, because oftentimes you spend so much time wasted that if you really knew the historical context and the background of the issues involved and who's addressing who and what, a lot of things come to light that wouldn't otherwise. And then with all this information, to read again, scan through it again. And the second part then would be to outline a preliminary outline of the book. Just going through and listing the broad themes and then the subdivisions under the broad themes, the main themes. This is not a final outline, but just a rough outline, just so you know where's what in the book and in a broad way. And then the third part would be a critical dissection of the book, or a critical analysis of the book, not from the point of view of grammar, but here we're looking for the progression or logical patterns seen in the flow of the context or the events in the book. In other words, looking for conceptual connections between one idea and the next, like where Paul shifts gears, for example, you know, like sometimes there's real, even grammatical keys. Other times it's just a shift in from one subject to the next, or one subject leads into the next, or sometimes in Paul's case there's a three-chapter parenthetical exposition before you get back to the thought that he started, the tangent that he was on, the Holy Spirit was on. But trying to look for these patterns within the broad themes, and noting the key thoughts, verses, and any repetitions, and where necessary, applying a grammatical historical method. In other words, if there's particular texts that are real problem areas, then you have to stop and apply a little more research to those areas. And then the fourth part would be the final outline, and here listing the themes and sub-themes as before, but in a little more, now that you've developed it more, a little more detail, and may have to change the original one somewhat. And then two, summarize the intent, plan, and purpose of the author. By the author, I'm assuming the Holy Spirit, but I mean in particular what, you know, who the author of the book was. And if possible, assess the impact on the audience it would have on the audience. And then the last part would be to check the results with the larger context and tenor of Scripture. In other words, the conclusions that you've come up with and the themes and the sub-themes, not so much those as what you think the plan is of the author, the plan and intent, purpose, so forth, and the impact on the audience, and how does that fit in with that particular book and that particular place in Scripture and the general context of tenor of Scripture. Okay, then for tools, there's, in addition to the various books on Bible study and the hermeneutical books and so forth, and those listed under topical study, some of the books, some of the hermeneutical books, they give you outlines, suggestions, and different things, but usually you go through 10 books and come up with maybe 3 or 4 ideas you can use, but they do contain some information. But also specific works, which one work probably the most, one of the most familiar with anyway, is Baxter's Explore the Book. These are principally helps for outline study, now not for background material. The Analyzed Bible by Morgan, G.C. Morgan. Outline Studies of the New Testament by Moorhead. I don't know if we have that in the library or not. I didn't see that in the other room. But had a copy, but it's at the binders. Jensen's outline series are handy. Those are the little paperback ones he did on each book of the Bible. And the various introductions by the commentators, those that take the trouble to do it. Some of them just launch out like JFB in a vacuum. But Lang usually does a pretty good job, and Adam Clark does, at least, if not in outline form, at least in theme. Okay, so that finishes up what I have on the outline study. So we'll do an outline, and then after that, I want to do a multiple outline, and I'll get into that later, but those... That'll probably take us up to the last week. Now, on the if you've got that verse outline, first analysis outline, I want to go over a couple things there. Well, I like probably, in addition to, there's not any one favorite I have, but Zahn is good for the New Testament. Z-A-H-N has three volume work, but he is dated. But ISBE and some of the Bible dictionaries sometimes are good too. Interpreters is more up to date, but then you've got to wade through all the liberal information. Sometimes spend a lot of time getting very little you can use out of it. But since it is a recent work, it's good to check the more recent works for archaeological background and so forth. Might shed light on it. Guthrie's and Gundry's here. Those are the principal ones that I'm familiar with, other than the commentators themselves. But a lot of times, you get information out of other books that, you find it in weird places. Customs books and geography books and things like that, that you can't list them all. It's just kind of your own study habits as you get into looking things, and you kind of get a feel for where certain, you can get a slant on certain areas. Like Ramsey's real good on, Luke, for example. He's got information on Luke that nobody else took time to deal with, and different ones. But it's an area. There's other works too that we don't have in the library that I didn't put down, but or haven't recommended, because I don't know if we'd get access to them unless you went to SPU or someplace. Some places their library is really heavy in that direction. Like, there's a big, particularly in Baptist circles, there's a big move towards filling in historical gaps, getting a little bit away from the grammatical school, and so they've flooded their libraries with historical background works. And that's particularly true down in Portland and Multnomah, Western Conservative Baptist. Their bookstores there, maybe 20% of their books that they're selling are all these rare background information books that nobody else has. But they're useful. I mean, the more background you can get. Also, in the archaeological journals, if you subscribe to any or you read the current issues, a lot of times they'll have articles that'll bring to light certain parts of the books. So, there's no more. Is there another question? Yeah, Young. He's real skimpy. Kyle's of Kyle and Dillich introduction, and then Devette, DeWette. They're older, but they give quite a bit of information. And then there's a number of liberal works that I have that are I just have for the current information, mainly because they get so hung up on all of the theories, that we're not interested in, that a lot of the information is hard to sift through. But you're in that section in the middle there where the introductory to the Old Testament and the New Testament. What I have here is on the top, and that one shelf of that second from the top in the corner. And then in the other library, they moved them around again, so I'm not sure where they're at in there now. It used to be on this wall over here. But. Okay, on this outline, there's a problem here, and I'm not going to take a thing and go through on the whole board because it would take too much time, but what I've done instead, I've made some copies of an assignment that I did that goes into most, there's almost, I think there's every problem in every category. And it's 11 pages, I made four copies. So what I thought I'd do is, those of you who want to go through it, you can go through it, and four of you at a time, and you can pass it on. If nobody wants it, you can keep the four copies, whoever wants to. But again, it's not trying to, say this is the end result or anything, but this is just an example of going through it. but might help. Sometimes one picture is worth a thousand words, as they say, and so this might help. But there is a particular problem here that a couple of you brought to my attention, and really I think this is probably going to get worked over again next year, and that's under exegetical analysis, number Roman numeral 8. I want to elaborate just a little bit on that. Originally, this is the first year that's been used, and it's come out of doing research in a couple different teachers and trying to make a checklist of where you wouldn't overlook anything doing critical research. And sometimes the first time through isn't, you know, you get all the bugs out. But anyway, exegetical analysis could be confusing because all of the other categories deal with problems, interpretive problems, under the first heading, observational analysis. And here under exegetical analysis is thrown in commentaries and Old Testament, New Testament parallels, typology, and so forth, which aren't necessarily problems. Really, originally, the way this was intended, and it was never finished, was, and maybe you can look at it this way, it might help a little more, and it'll probably be changed to use next year in methods too, but observational analysis should really be one part by itself. In other words, there's really three or four parts of research. There's an overview study, and then a critical study, and then your own input, and then a conclusion, or testing at a conclusion. So, really, observational analysis, Roman numeral 1, should probably be part 1. And then, from Roman numeral 2 through 7, part of 7, or part of 8, rather, through part of 8, would be part 2. And most of the information under exegetical analysis really should be in a separate part by itself. Should be the design of this. There are exegetical problems, but most of the study in this area is designed for your own personal input. In other words, after you've looked at all these other areas, the textual area, grammatical area, lexical, theological problems, historical problems, and so forth, your own input in additional comments and adding in commentaries, clues from typology, Old Testament, New Testament mentions of the Old Testament, and so forth, would be added in before your final considerations. But it's a broader category, so it really should be by itself. But there are problems, so exegetical analysis should be included in the problem in the part two. For example, an example would be, Paul, the injunction about not offering meat to idols, that would be an exegetical problem in the sense that, is this for us or isn't it, or is it literal or is it figurative, or, you know, how do we interpret it? So it's an interpretive problem. It's not a grammatical, it's not a lexical, it's not a theological, it could be a theological problem possibly, but it's principally an exegetical problem, what to do with it. But on the other hand, some of the other information in here would not be problems per se, like you're checking commentators to see what they say and so forth. So maybe that might clarify it a little bit. Look for exegetical problems that might exist, but most of the input would be a separate category, and next year what we would do is probably make a part 3, and then a part 4 would be more of a synthesis, your own input plus conclusions, and the last part would be testing the conclusion. And also, you might add in the beginning here, which wasn't really put in this outline because of the nature of it, and that is reading and outlining what we're getting into right now. In other words, reading the text and outlining it really should be a part of it, although the outlining for a Greek or Hebrew student would be under structural analysis. Nevertheless, to go through the book, reading the whole book first and developing a thematic outline should be part of the first part or a separate part by itself, however you want to look at it. So, are there any questions on that? Does that help any? Okay, there was a number of you that raised your hands that had problems on that, following through on assignment. Is there any specific questions on that, or do you just want to see an example of how to go through it? Anybody? At the same time, what?
Yeah, okay, in other words, over here on the next page, we have textual analysis and lexical analysis on sections 2 and 4.
Uh-huh.
Okay, a lot of that work is done in the OCD, right?
Well, yeah, you'd only do 2 and 4 if there was a problem. Now, some of you on your papers, you didn't distinguish between the observational analysis and then the rest of the paper, and you went ahead and solved the problem right in the beginning, like, you know, right under the observational analysis part. Like, if you ran into a textual problem, that was where you worked on it, right there. What the purpose here is mainly just to identify problems and to gather background information. It should include reading, it's not listed on here. But that's the whole purpose of this whole first page, is to gain familiarity with the text and identify problems. Now, the information that you get there can be used, you know, in the other sections if there's problems in those sections. If there's no section, if there's no problems, then, or if you've only got one problem, then you only need to do that one Roman numeral wherever it's gone to. But the other Roman numerals are designed to work out the problem. All the information in the first, like textual and grammatical, if you were doing a thorough study and you wanted to particularly, like, say, consulting an interlinear, pointed versus unpointed, well, that wouldn't mean anything if you didn't know Greek or Hebrew. Hebrew, or capital or lowercase in the New Testament. So you wouldn't even look at it. But for somebody, it's put in there for somebody who knows the language, who would be a little additional consideration you just look at. Just briefly to go through to see if there might be confusion, you know, one word might be part of the word before it, and there might be alternate possibilities, punctuation, and so forth. And parsing the words and so forth. And checking for variance. Well, these would just be things that you would do if there's no problem, that's as far as it would go. But if that shows up a problem, then you take it over to the textual analysis section, and you'd work on it. You'd work on it on a separate sheet of paper, really. In other words, the whole purpose of this is to identify and isolate problems to work on. And it's really, that's the essential feature of it. And because you spend so much time studying and not really knowing what the problem is, in a lot of cases. If you're studying a text where there is a problem. But I found, and others have found, that if you can identify the problem early, you save yourself a lot of trouble later on. So that's the whole design of this, was really to think in categories along the early stages of research like that. Okay, C is just a summation. In other words, C is just list. You don't do any work in C other than list the problem. In other words, C, if you went through B and you saw either a textual or grammatical problem, when you all C is really, you could erase the Roman numeral, the letter C, and just say conclusion of observational analysis. In other words, it's just to summarize what you found, any problems that you found going through the historical information, the textual and grammatical information. So you don't do any separate research under C. That may be a little misleading. That's a good point. But it's really just a list of problems that you've found, and the exegetical would come in the course of uncovering the others. So the historical, their historical problems would revolve around, you know, not knowing who it was written to or when it was written or peculiar circumstances to the writing and so forth. But at this point, you would just look at that, and all this information just about bound the commentators for this background information or introductory works. So they're going to readily identify the problems anyway, usually, if there's a problem in those areas. And all it is you go through and note at the bottom any particular problems that exist. If there's no problems, fine, going your merry way. But usually you carry a, there's a problem for you to be researching it in the first place and to be using this outline to start with. Now, if you were just doing research on your own, you'd still want to check through this checklist, not going through the whole outline, but I mean, you'd want to check and make sure there's not variance. You know, you'd want to make sure that, for example, that there weren't historical information. I mean, just in the course of general research, you'd do most of these anyway to a degree, but you wouldn't get into it this detail because you wouldn't be looking for problems necessarily. Okay. The other was on theology, theological analysis. Number 7, Roman numeral 7. Theological prejudice, which is in this paper that I'm going to give 4 of you, or actually I've got 5, I guess. It's the only one discussed in there, but a language barrier, a problem resulting out of a language barrier, not understanding what's being said, could be either exegetical, or it could be a language barrier, or the exegetical could arise out of a language barrier, or it could be or a theological issue results from how you interpret a particular language. So you could look at it from different aspects, and you could treat it either way, but I mean, it's just how you approach it, basically. You can't pigeonhole everything, you know, it's not designed for that, but it's to try and at least think through it. Well, you know, there's a problem here theologically, and if this is, say, punctuated one way, which would get back to a grammatical problem, then you have a certain theology, and if it's punctuated another way, you have another theology. So there is a language problem here, but also there could be a language problem just in your own and my own understanding of the language. Or maybe this would be more in a cultural barrier, though, taking it from that culture to our day, what it meant to them and what it means to us. But just in regards to the theology involved, see, there could be, some of these overlap. You could have a cultural barrier and exegetical, would be an exegetical problem as well as a theological problem. But it would only be a problem if there was in theology, if there was theology involved that would affect your theology as to how you interpret it. Or, you know, it's kind of hard. You can't just say everything just fits in one of these categories or the other. It's a little easier in the other one because textual and grammatical kind of suggest themselves, and historical and so forth. But the theological overlaps, and it's only put in here separate because it could include, there's areas in exegesis that wouldn't necessarily be covered in theological. You could have problems, although in another sense you could say theology covers it all, but try and limit it down. So I don't want to make a golden calf, like I said, out of this thing, but what will happen was this will probably be, like I said, divided up into parts, and then a conclusion section worked into it. But use your own, whatever's best for you. You know, just work on it. You know, work up your own outline. Take from this what you can use and use your own, but make sure that you have a checklist that you, when you're doing research, that you don't overlook. I know all this. I could probably go through this thing by heart, but I still look at it when I'm researching from time to time because I want to make sure I didn't overlook anything. And your memory is easily misplaced, in fact, especially if you're in a hurry to get it done. So. Whatever, you know, take out whatever you can use. Is there five? Was there anybody going to read it? Who all wanted, would like this? Yeah,
I'll just start. Is anybody over there? Anybody else want to read
it? Okay, well, I figured I was pushing it to make that many copies on the copier. So if you want to make a copy of that, go ahead. It's not a big thing. I'm not trying to give it to you and show you how wonderful it is or anything, but it may give you an idea of what I'm getting at on a particular problem that had a lot of different problems in it, and bring it back next week and I'll give it to somebody else or unless you want to make a copy. If not, five more people don't want it. If you want to keep a copy, you're welcome to. Okay, is there any other questions? This is going to be, like I said, in Methods 2. Those of you who hadn't taken Methods 2, I would strongly suggest that you take it next year if you can. I think it's going to be expanded somewhat, and it'll be different. If you've taken it in the past, when you have time to take it, it will be different, too, because he's working in areas this semester that haven't been taught in the class before, and most of the information in this class will be eventually worked probably into a two-unit class, so it'll give you another run through it. Okay, on the outline study, take the rest of the period unless there's any more questions and go to it. You can take any book you want, the Old or the New Testament. But make it easier. Don't take Revelation. Well, you can if you really want, but that's been pretty well outlined in class already anyway. But wouldn't hurt to go back through it, but don't take too short a book, because you might get into problems on some of them. Because I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Once we do this, I'm going to go back and have you add in a multiple outline to it. The multiple outline is where you take columns and you develop your thematic outline in one column. Chronological outline in another column, historical information in another column. And so some of these little tiny books get into some pretty detailed study to try and figure out the historical background and stuff. Anyway, I'm not judging on the length of it, just if everyone picks Obadiah or 3rd John or something, or Jude, and but try and do, if you do, let's put it this way, if you do Romans or 1st or 2nd Corinthians, just do half of it in detail. Do a broad outline for the whole thing, but just do a detail for half of it. If you're interested in the historical books are going to prove real interesting if you want to get the most value out of it when we get into the multiple outline, either in the Old or the New Testament, because that way you can, there's a lot of information you can add into it, and it'll probably give you more practice in doing that. Yeah, if it's a real long book, do half of it. like any of the historical books we have. Or Isaiah, Jeremiah, any of the ones that are really long. You know, try and do 8 or 10 chapters anyway on the long book. Let's say at least a half a dozen. That way, some of you won't be afraid to take the long book. But the longer book, if you do them, just make sure you get a broad outline of the whole thing, and then just go back and do the detail in one section. Are there any questions on the outline? What I'm asking to do? Go through the methodology notes that I gave you. That's basically what I'm looking for. And if there's any questions in there, I'll be glad to help you out.
I've done it in methods too, but I'm not exactly sure if you want to see anything.
Well, I did. I went through some notes. I should listen to the tape. In terms of the evaluation of evidence for first analysis. So, the first part of the sound study. So, that part, in fact, I think a whole hour of reflection. Yeah.
So, you'd like me to listen to the tape before I
can
listen?
No, you can go ahead and do it.
Okay. I was going to listen to the tape,
yeah.
My question was, how do you want us to do it? You know, Greg taught me one way. I'm not sure if you want to say anything.
Well, pretty much just what I gave on methodology. The only thing he missed on the outline part of it was I just come along to you can read through this first part. That's what you need to test your
own. Okay. Basically, what we did was just read the thing through about 4 or 5 times. And we read it through 3 times first. Then we did, can't remember which kind it all. We did like 2 or 3 different times. We did the third time through, we looked at one aspect. The next time through, we looked at another aspect. And we did the first chapter, the first chronicle.
I said 6 to 8 or whatever chapters, where there's a logical break in the subject matter, you know. Not a little of something. You can make a little less or a little more. Excluding genealogies. Just remember, the genealogy, think of all the historical background you have to do.
I think today, the rest of today and the next period, next week, and if we get done early, we'll go over it a little bit in class, but Thursday I want to try and get done by Wednesday, because Thursday I want to go through this multiple outline. I think we've only got four meetings up through this week. Try and use reference works you haven't used, too. I mean, always try and do that when you're researching it, if possible.
The reason I said the historical books, and particularly like the Gospels and Acts and the New Testament, is it lends itself better to multiple outlines where you can really get a lot of information. I think you'll see the value of it a little more once we do it. Where you can, like in the Gospels, you can pick up the time key, you can pick up a lot of times the geographical location, and then the growing season, what's going on at the same time it's being said, and it helps fill in a picture that you wouldn't get otherwise. And a lot of times, then you get something that's out of sequence or something that doesn't look like you have any time keys and fits in between a bunch of other things, and it helps a lot of times, particularly in harmony, things that help. Thank you.
them before, do they? You've worked here? I'm sure they have.
Do you want this off?
Yeah.